have your Bibles this morning. You can take your Bible and turn to Psalm 5. You'll notice Galatians 5 is the list of fruits of the Spirit. A while back, early this spring, Mandy, my daughter-in-law, came to me and said, "Papa, somebody gave me a blackberry bush, and it's about this big." And she said, "Where can we plant it?" So we planted it in the back corner of the property where two fences sort of lined up. And I got some good dirt and put a little mound there and put in that corner and planted that plant. And it was about this tall. Well, about every 4 or 5 days or a week or so, I go out there and look at it, make sure it's been watered. And I just kind of keep an eye on it, but there is no fruit on that blackberry bush. But I can tell you this, the blackberry bush goes 30 feet in one direction now. I mean, it's got limbs all the way, and I just keep winding them. Every time they get over and hang down, I'll wind them through the little mesh fence, and it comes all the way over here. And I keep looking at all that thing. There's not one blackberry yet. And then it goes the other way, on this side, all the way down there, and it's about 20 feet. But there's still no blackberries. So I'm wondering if somebody gave us a bad blackberry bush. That's what I'm wondering. You know what? There are some Christians sort of like that blackberry bush. They're doing things, but not producing fruit. Now, one of the things that you can tell that a Christian is growing is the fruit that's in their life. And Galatians chapter 5 says, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Have you noticed how people get joy today? Well, they do it by things. A new thing will bring joy. A new thing, like a new car, brings joy. I mean, that new car smell. You know, a while back, I took my car to get it washed and cleaned. I do it about every once a year, maybe let them do a little better job than I do. And they clean up my car and they say, "What smell do you want?" You can get strawberry, raspberry, you can get all kinds of different smells. But then they say, they're going on down, new car smell. Oh, yeah, my car's not new, it's 9, 10 years old, but hey, new car smell. I like that smell. How many of you like a new car smell? Let me smell it, okay? You may not have one, but you like the smell. A Christian has got a certain fragrance if they're growing in the Lord. The problem is most Christians are not. I mean, they're doing things, but there's not blackberries. There's not the fragrance. There's not the joy of the Lord in their heart. Folks, today, one of the signposts that you're saved and you're growing in the Lord is the joy of the Lord fills your heart. Now, you can get joy from a new car. You can get joy from a new house. You can get joy from a big Kit Kat candy bar. You can get one of that, but only if you can eat it. Now, I've got a certain weight that I'm trying to get to, and I got a big Kit Kat in my office. It's still there. I'm not down yet. I'm gaining on it. I walk by it every once in a while, look at it and say, "You're dead meat soon. I'm going to get you." And I keep coming back. And I'm looking forward to getting that Kit Kat. You know, that's one of my goals, you know. And so I look at it, and yet all these things, losing weight and getting to a certain point, that brings you joy. Staying there does not. Now, let's say, for instance, you think about all the things that could bring you joy. Well, if I get a blackberry bush with blackberries, that'd bring me joy. I'd be excited about that. I'd be excited about a new suit. I'd be excited about a new car. I'd be excited about a new dress. I'd be excited for the ladies in our church. I'd be excited about a new iPad or a new iWatch. The other day, I don't know what came up on my phone. You know, they get you on your phone. They learn all your habits, anything you look at, and it won't be 30 seconds later, and all of a sudden, this new thing pops up. And I don't know how watch came up. Maybe I didn't click the delete quick enough or something, but it came up. And then all the new iWatches came up. It'll do this. It'll do that. It'll cook your meals for you. It'll GPS you. You'll know right where you are. I know where I am. It'll tell you right where you are, your GPS coordinates. I've never needed that, but, you know, it'll tell you that. It'll even tell you if your heart's still working. It'll tell you how good it's working. It'll tell you how many steps you've walked. It does all kinds of things. And then it'll tell you how much it drains your pocketbook. It'll tell you that. And I got, look, I said, man, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have one of those watches. And I said, but you know, it would take me probably a year to figure out how to work it. Then I just like the one I got. It just works. You know what it does? One thing. It does two things. It does two things well. It tells me the time and the date. Well, it says the 4th. It doesn't tell me the date, right? Okay. It just tells me the time. It gets that right. Okay. So at least it always tells me the time and it's faithful to me. But you know, all these different things you get, they all bring a certain measure of joy. If you have your Bible, keep your finger in Psalm 5, but turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I'm going to read you a verse. The wisest man that ever lived, perhaps the richest man that ever lived, perhaps. Verse 9 of chapter 2, Ecclesiastes. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy. So think about something that would bring you joy. He said, a steak dinner, I didn't keep it from me. A new car, a new chariot, I didn't keep it from me. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This was my portion of all my labor. In verse number 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. All the intensity of my life I'd put into these things that brought me joy. And he said, behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there's no profit under the sun. There was no inner peace. That new chariot didn't give me the joy of the Lord in my heart. He didn't give me the peace of God in my heart. And today, folks, all that you and I do and acquire, you can acquire the whole world like Solomon did. He said, I got me houses and lands and cattle and gold and silver, and I didn't even count the silver. Only gold was counted, and I had me orchards, and I had swimming pools and water, and I had everything that a man could desire. And I looked at it all and said, look at all I've got. And he said, it's worthless. Because God has made every person in this heart to need joy. To need what he can pour into your heart that comes from growing in the Lord. And everybody here has got to do that. You've got to grow in the Lord to where he pours in your heart the fruit of his spirit. That's the blackberries of your heart. You need some of those. You can do all kinds of things. You can profit, but you're not going to grow until that you've gotten those. The Spirit of God grows you, and then the fruit begins to come, the love and the joy and the peace. And folks, that's what we're missing today. Christians are missing the fruit of the Spirit. And this one, joy. I mean, to where you get up in the morning and there's a pleasantness about your spirit. There's a joy in your heart. There's a bounce in your step. And if you really back up and take a look at it, if joy is not built in all that's in your front yard and in your garage and in your bedroom, if joy is, do I know the Lord? Am I going to please him when I see him? He's coming to get me. I have a home prepared for me in heaven. I can't wait to see it. If you have your eyes down, you're going to lack joy. If you have your eyes up, you have the chance for joy. Now, I want you to notice, joy comes from three things pretty well in Scripture. Number one, comes from salvation. If you take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Psalm 51, you'll notice Psalm 51. I want you to notice Psalm 51, David said it best. I want you to notice in verse number, in Psalm 51, verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I'm going to take just a minute. When you have peace in your heart, when you know you're on your way to heaven, when you've been born into God's family and you're sure of it, there is a joy that God gives to your heart that settles it, that cannot be taken away. You can buy a dozen new cars, but when you lay your head down at night and you know you're on your way to heaven, there's a joy in your heart that is irreplaceable. Do you have that joy? Now, folks, there's a point in when the fruit of the Spirit begins to come out and there's a smile on your face. There's a joy in your heart. Now, folks, the old devil loves to destroy our joy. We're going to get to that in a minute. But God wants you to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. When that comes, when you trust Christ as Savior, when you know you're on your way to heaven, when you're written, your name is written in the book of life. I was witnessing to a couple yesterday, and as I was sharing the gospel with them, do you know for sure that you've received Christ as Savior? You're born in the flesh. You got a birthday. What's your birthday? Tell me the birthday. Okay, when were you born in the Spirit? Now, you don't necessarily need to remember the birthday, but you need to know there was a time and maybe a place. And maybe you remember I was 11, 12, 13 years old, but I was in my mother's bedroom, or I was at camp. And I don't remember what year it was, but I remember going down to the front. I remember going to the little back room and getting down. I remember a counselor working with me, and I bowed my head and prayed and asked Jesus. I told him I was sorry for my sin. I told him I didn't deserve to go to heaven. I told the Lord that. And I asked him to come into my heart and save me and take what Jesus did and place it to my account. I confessed my sin. I trusted him as Savior. And there, I know that. And so there's a joy that comes from knowing you're on your way to heaven that nothing else in this life can give you. There is a joy in salvation that is irreplaceable. Do you have that joy this morning? If you don't, you need it. Now, what you notice, there's a joy also comes from being clean of sin, from being pure of sin. Salvation brings a joy, but you'll notice he used in Psalm 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what happens? When you and I sin against the Lord, now understand what sin is. Sin is anything God says not to do or to do, and we don't do it, or we do it. We do the things he tells us not to, and we don't do the things he tells us to do. That's sin. The Lord even says that sin is so rampant that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 2. So you and I end up, if we're not very careful, we end up committing sin we don't even realize we did, because we don't know what God wants us to do. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to notice that you can lose your joy. This joy of salvation comes in every person's heart, but the old devil, his desire is to kill your joy. And he's done it with a lot of Christians. You don't see Christians today with joyful spirits. But that's what we're supposed to be. Do you understand? You have a home in heaven. That the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the one that calls the stars by their name, he knows your name and he loves you. Can you imagine as a teenage boy or teenage girl, the Lord knowing who you are, where you are, and what you're doing because he loves you? Folks, today, that's a wonderful thought. He said that the thoughts that you think about me are more than the sand of the sea. God thinks more thoughts about you and I than anything else in the world. He's not thinking about Mount Everest, and he's not thinking about the Marianas Trench and how deep it is. He's thinking about you and how he can get closer to you. But did you know the Bible says you draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you? You have to initiate it. You have to say, I want to grow in grace. Lord, I want to grow in what you give freely. Lord, you give these joys. You give this joy of the blackberries of your spirit. Lord, you give that. would you give that to me so that I could get up in the morning and no matter how I feel or what goes on, I can have the joy of the Lord in my heart? Folks, where are the Christians like that? They're just a joy to be around. They're very few and far between because the old devil has stolen our joy by getting us to be covetous and saying, I wish I had a new car like him. I wish I had a new suit like her. I wished I, and you fill in the blank. And so we begin to lose our joy. It becomes vexation of spirit, all the things we don't have, and we get miserable. You and I have to back up a little bit and say, look, Lord, you've given me the gift of eternal life, the gift of heaven. I'm rich today. I'm going to rejoice in that. I'm so thankful for that. You have to understand you're on your way to heaven. And then the second thing is you have to avoid the things that make things not work. I have a sprinkler that works in some of the areas where I don't have a sprinkler system in the yard. And that sprinkler system, for some reason, that little head, it gets a little rusty on it, and the head will just go, and it won't move. It won't go around the circle. And man, I go get some oil and I'll push it up and down and put the oil on it. I got two different kinds of oil. I'll get grease and put on it. And invariably, sooner or later, that thing just stops working. It just like that. You know what it is? It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It forms a little rust. Water's always around it and it just stops working. That's like a lot of Christians. They think about the wrong things. They get a little bit of an attitude. They don't say, Lord, forgive me. They don't keep their heart clean every day. They don't recognize the sin that's in their life. And so in order to have the joy of the Lord, you and I first have to recognize the sin that doth so easily beset us. Do you understand that everybody in this room, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews. I want you to see it. Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice, if you would, the secret to joy. Notice, if you would, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So, in other words, sin easily gets in our lives. It's hard to keep it out. Somebody does something. Your husband lays his clothes a certain place, or your wife cooks the meal and you know she doesn't fix this one the way you really like it, or the car gets a little dirty, and you know the kids have put stuff in the car, and you know kids do that. Did you know that? I mean, the longer you wait to clean it out, it just gets bigger and bigger. You know. Your car gets heavier and heavier. And the people that clean it, it takes longer and longer. And so sooner or later, you got to go in there and clean it all out. And, you know, that's a Christian's life. And if we don't, we just get an attitude. We don't have the joy of the Lord. Everybody in this room, you need the fruit. I need the fruit of God's Spirit. There's a certain pleasantness about a person with joy. There's a certain infection about that person. They have an infectious personality because they usually wear a smile. They're pleasant to be around. It's not like things affect them. They don't get down in the dumps. They don't ever get the poochy lip disease. Never. Because the joy of the Lord is in their heart. And so today, I encourage you, where is the joy of the Lord in your heart if you're saved? If you don't have it, A, you've lost the joy of your salvation. And you can do that by, like we do everything else, you don't think about the blessings of it. When we get a car, you know, every morning I get up, and almost every morning I get in this car, and the white Honda, and I start to drive to church. It's got a lot of miles on it. I say, Lord, would you let this car continue to run? Lord, help this car to continue to run. I don't want to get anything new for a while. Would you let this car continue to run? And it gets up and starts. I said, Lord, thank you so much. You know, that's the way I think the Lord wants you and I to be. We look at our salvation and say, Lord, thank you for the gift of eternal life. Now, every morning I get up, that's what I take time. I say, Lord, first thing on my prayer list, Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. And I go through it a little bit and I talk with him about it. Lord, I thank you. And it keeps it fresh in my heart. And it causes me to have a joy about my salvation. But if you let, I got to get up this morning, I got to go fix the kids' breakfast, and I got to go do this, and I got to do that, you forget about your salvation. You forget about the preciousness of it. You can't forget about the joy that comes with salvation. And the more you think about it and of its value and of its gift to you and the person that gave it to you, that joy will return when you realize he gave it to me. What a privilege I have. And then whenever you and I can get close to the Lord, but we don't. And so what happens is sin begins to pull us away from the Lord. Now, sin will do that, and it doesn't matter what sin it is. It can be the attitude sin. It can be the lust sin. It can be covetousness sin. Any sin will pull you away from the Lord and you'll lose your joy. If the richest man that had lived to that date could say, I've got everything. He said, whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. And I'm miserable. You know what it's missing? The fruit of the Spirit of God. He was a Christian. But he had let all the decisions that he had made as the wisest man to ever live, he made a lot of foolish decisions. And those things kept stealing away a little bit of joy. Folks, every sin you and I tolerate steals a little joy. And it won't be long to where if you tolerate enough sins, you'll be miserable. And nothing will make you happy. And you're hard to live with. That's what's wrong with a lot of marriages today, especially among Christians. They don't have the joy of the Lord in their heart. When you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, then you're pleasant to be around. You're a joy to be around because you look on the bright things side of things, not on the negative side of things. And folks, the Christian's got to be wise about things, but God wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit. And you say, well, how do I get this fruit of the Spirit? You begin to say, Lord, I want to think like you want me to think. Now watch. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians 4. I want you to see this verse. How to get the joy of the Lord. I want you to notice. Look here. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes when you trust the Lord with the burdens of your life. But you notice, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, lovely, blah, blah, blah. If, in verse number 8, the very last part of it, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. Those are the things that bring joy to your life. When you begin to think on right things, you begin to think about things like whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever thing is holy. You begin to think about the things of God and the joy of heart comes into your life because that's a fruit of the Spirit. And yet, if we don't do this, if we don't think right, we're going to lose our joy. And it happens all the time. Now, the good part about it is you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've lost my joy. I'm not really a happy person to be around. I'm sorry. Maybe you've never been a joyful person. Do you understand that the more you grow in Christ, he gives that fruit of joy in your heart. You become a joyful person. That's the reason I'm saying to you today, folks, every Christian, when you begin to look at Christians and you see the joy of the Lord in their heart, that's what is a signpost of the Spirit of God. Today, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Do you see things positively? Or is your first thought negative? What if? This might happen, that might happen. The joy of the Lord causes our thoughts to be positive. It doesn't mean we don't deal with the problems that come in life, but we deal with them in such a fashion, Lord, I have this problem, can I leave this in your hands? And the peace of God comes in our heart. We begin to learn how to live. Most Christians don't know how to live. They'd rather carry it on themselves so they know it gets done and have a miserable attitude than they would to trust the Lord with it. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you with it. And by the way, Lord, would you give me joy of heart and the Lord flood your heart with blackberries that people can say, wow, look at their lives. Now, one of these days, that blackberry bush, I think is going to be covered with blackberries because it's got the right kind of soil. I give it the right kind of water. And one of these days, if you give it enough care and tenderness, sooner or later, all those blackberries start coming out. When they do, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, I got blackberries. You know what? It only comes from disciplined work. From you staying away from sin. The other day I went out there and saw a bug on them, and I pulled that bug off and threw it away. You have to do that with your life. When you see a bad attitude in your heart, you've got to get rid of it. When you see lust in your life, you got to say, Lord, forgive me for that. Get rid of it. When you see yourself doing that which is displeasing the Lord, you have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Hey, I have to do that every day. Keep my life clean. Lord, I want your joy. I want to enjoy life because you gave it to me. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Are you enjoying the daily life of Christ? And then lastly, I want you to notice, joy comes from being clean of sin. You have nothing to worry about. Everything's right between you and the Lord. I'll never forget when Susan had been in the hospital. I don't know how many days. She was in there 77 before she went to heaven. But I remember maybe it was, I think it was she went to rest and maybe she was in four different hospitals, the third one. So it was about 50 days in. I said, honey, and another problem came up and she just kept having problem after problem health-wise. But her spirit stayed the same. The doctors saw it, and the nurses saw it, and I saw it. I said, Lord, I want to be like that. Lord, I don't want all of her troubles, but Lord, if I could just have that joy. And I remember she looked at me and she said one time, she's, honey, I don't know why the Lord's allowing all this, but I want you to know one thing. My heart is clean. There's no sin in my heart. It's all right between the Lord and I. I just want you to know that, honey. You know what? That's why you could have joy facing death. Because everything's about ready to open up all of heaven. Today, are you clean? You know if you are. It'll steal your joy if you're not. And the last thing is, I want you to notice very quickly, is there's a joy from serving the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 5. Notice with me if you would. Acts 5. Look if you would in verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed. This is Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And so you got to understand that even in difficulty, they were rejoicing. There's another passage, you don't have to turn there, but Acts 13:50, they were rejoicing then. They said, Lord, we've got the joy of the Lord in our heart. And they were facing immediate death from time to time. Notice if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 5, and we'll close. Turn to Psalm 5, I want you to see this passage. Psalm 5, notice with me if you would. Psalm 5, notice if you would. Verse number 11. Let all those that have put their trust in thee rejoice. If you've been saved, you put your trust in Christ, rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Now, notice this. Because thou defendest them, because you stand up for us, Lord, because you watch out for us. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So when you serve the Lord, the third way you get joy is when you do what God's called you to do. Every Christian should be serving the Lord some way. So if you're serving the Lord, and one of the number one ways, what's the number one duty of a Christian? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. So when you love the Lord, look what he says in verse number 11. Let all, them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So when you fall in love with the Lord, he gives you a certain joy because this love of God brings joy in your heart. Today, do you have rejoicing in your heart? Everybody in this room, you have something God wants you to do. Are you doing it? You may say, well, Pastor, all I am is an usher. Do you realize that there are ushers in Scripture and they have great value to the Lord? Do you realize that everybody in this room that does something, the sound guys, you know what it would be like? Turn off my sound for a minute, okay? Please, okay? Thank you. So he's got an important job. The ushers have an important job. They collect all the money and they help people with their seating and the greeters have an important job. They help people find their classrooms if need be. They greet people. There's supposed to be a joy of the Lord in their heart when they see people. Boy, it's good to have you today. And they give you a bulletin. It's the first people you see. It's sort of like, wow. You know, they represent the Lord. You represent the Lord. When people come to this church, you represent the King of Kings. There are a lot of people that come to this church that are unsaved as a guest, or they come bearing a burden. You and I have to let them know there's hope in this world. And the service that we provide is, Lord, help me to do what I can do. The choir. I enjoyed the choir this morning. It lifts the spirit. The orchestra. I enjoyed Rebecca playing. Rebecca, where's Rebecca? Rebecca, where are you? Rebecca, is she in nursery? Where's Rebecca? Rebecca, how many years have you been practicing that violin? 20 years. You know what? I'd like to play like that, but I don't want to spend 20 years to do it. But aren't you glad somebody does? That's her call. Now, I appreciated Sarah singing this morning. Sarah, where's Sarah? Where's Sarah? Sarah, how long have you been singing? Since a little girl, huh? Practicing, sort of? You know, I've been singing too, but you don't want to hear me sing. So you know what? I'm thankful for people that play the piano. And you may never even think about them. But I want to tell you this. When like last week somebody came to get baptized and it's baptismal day and I go down the back and I go up there. You know who's standing there with my waiters right there? Vince Nikita. He's been doing that for, you know how long, Vince? 20 years. Do you know what it's like if I have to go up there? And there's nobody there like Vince. You know what? I got to go get my waiters. Have you ever tried to put waiters on with a suit on and you take your suit off and you try to put the waiters on, you get them on. By that time, they're waiting for me. And Brandon sing, okay, let's try another verse of another song. And he's going on, let's try another song. And then by that time, I get my waiters on and then the worst part's getting them off. You know what he does? I get out of the baptismal pool. I walk up there and I stand right there and I got a chair. I sit down in the chair. How many of you ever wondered why I can get to the back quickly? How many ever had that thought? Let me see your hand. Okay. You know, I can get back there in about a minute and a half. And so I get up there and I'm done. I sit down in my chair and I take my boots like that and he's right there and he pulls both boots off. You know how long it'd take me to get those off if he weren't there? I'd probably miss the rest of the service if I was up there trying to get those boots off. Because that water gets pushed that stuff next to your body and it gets thick. And you know, the worst part about when you get a hole in it, you know who gets the new ones? Vince does. It doesn't affect you, but it does me. I am thankful for Vince. And how many of you have ever had your mind go blank on a name? Now, if you're above 40, don't raise your hand. It's not a senior moment. How many of you ever had a name just fly out of your mind? Let me see your hand. Raise it up. Raise it up. Look at all these. Young people. Raise them up. Let me see them. Okay. Oh, that's encouraging. Okay, good. The young people, all kinds of people. You know what? When we get up for a baptism, I get up, I start going down over there, and Lisa Nikita has got a little card, and she puts it up. It's got the person's name. Now, you know what? Maria Alfaro was baptized 2 weeks ago. And I knew her name. But every once in a while, it just flies out of your head. Do you know what it's like She's coming. What's her name? What was her name? Oh, my goodness. What is her name? And you get down to the Baptist, you look here and say, I know you got saved yesterday. I was there. We talked. You got saved, but what is your name? Would that be terrible? Okay. That's Lisa. In Christian love, I love Lisa with that little card. Folks, you don't know how important little things are that God says, well, I can do that. And Lisa's been doing it for 20 years. Folks, that brings a certain joy that, you know, I've been faithful. There's a certain joy that's there. And they don't get a lot of credit. When's the last time I took you guys out to dinner for doing that? Ever? Today, you got to go out to lunch with me. All right. Do you understand? Do you understand? We just sort of take things for granted because every time there's a baptismal, you know, I look all there and there's Vince going out and look over there's Lisa going up. And I say, okay, it's all taken care of. You don't think about faithfulness. But all of a sudden, if you do the right things and you're faithful, blackberries show up. Today, are you producing blackberries? Is there joy in your life? The Lord needs you today. You represent Christ. It's the reason the world is still lost, because Christians look and act like everybody else. We need the joy of the Lord in our heart because we love Him. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. And ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you need to come this morning. You never trusted Christ. Maybe you need to come join our church, be a part of our church. Maybe you need to come and just talk with the Lord. You've been struggling with joy. You've been struggling sort of like Solomon was with all the things of life. You're just sort of weighted down. Lord, I'm sorry. I need your help. Lord, I need the joy back in my heart. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The Lord can do that. Are you clean of sin? Lord Jesus, as we begin to sing these songs, would you help your people to desire your joy, the fruit of the Spirit of God? Lord, give us blackberries in our soul. Lord, I pray that you'd give us joy. Help us to realize and help people to come and thank you for their salvation and confess their sin. And Lord, rejoice in the service that they've been able to do for you for many years. Lord, would you bless them? Give them joy today. In your name we pray. Amen.